The Old Testament reading is from Hosea chapter 5, verses 15 through chapter 6, verses 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have honed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all the offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abram, who is the father of us all, as it is written. I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we get to begin a whole summer sermon series. It sounds like maybe I've prepared for you this whole great and wonderful thing where I've laid out this great series. We're going to go verse by verse all the way through a book. But actually, I'm just stealing the lectionary and I'm doing the readings that were already given to us for the summer. It's very exciting, actually. Makes my sermon series nice and easy for me. You see, our lectionary, you know, it follows through the whole season. We're now into the season after Pentecost, and it's going to be green for quite some time. It's nice because I like my green stole a lot with the Christ the Vine theme going on it. So it's a great season for me, personally. As we go through this season, though, we continue with the lectionary, which leads us through books of the Bible. This year, our gospel readings are going to be from Matthew. It's very exciting, and their Old Testament readings will line up with that. But the lectionary also, each year, follows through in this epistle reading, one of the books of the Bible. And a lot of the times it'll line up with the gospel reading in the Old Testament, but not always. But at least for this summer, all the way into September, we get the book of Romans. And so we're going to be enjoying reading through Romans together. If you happen to be someone who brings your Bible with you, of course, I encourage you to take notes or maybe put some of these things from the bulletin there if you'd like to. This is an opportunity for us to just look at the book of Romans and really see what it has to give us in this season of church growth. This season after Pentecost, it's a funny one to have it as a church celebration time because in real time, we're still in the season of the church after Pentecost. The Pentecost about 2,000-ish years ago, the church is still growing. We should really be green all year long. But then you wouldn't get to see the cool, like, blue one that comes out at the time with the Christmas tree. It's going to be wonderful. But we're in this season of church growth, and we get these wonderful gifts of looking at what God has given us in His Word to learn from, to experience, and to trust in as far as understanding what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so as we jump into Romans, we're skipping right past the first three chapters. It's not up to me, okay? It's a lectionary. I apologize. If your favorite chapter is Romans chapter 2, I'm sorry. You read it on your own. Have a good time. But I will point out, at the very least, from Romans chapter 1, this is a stated thing at the beginning of Romans. In verses 16 and 17, we can at least get the idea of what it is Paul wants to show us throughout Romans. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. With that stated theme of the righteous living by faith, it's important to note, he's not just saying the righteous as this nebulous group of individuals. It's the righteous one person, righteous individual. The righteous man or woman would live by faith. And thank you, Marty, for pointing that out for us. That does not just mean live by faith, like, okay, so now you have more faith out there. You get after it, and you do a good job following God's law every day. Jesus died so you can follow the law better. That doesn't sound right. That sounds confusing a little. The righteous shall live by faith means that you will both live eternally, and in fact, every day you live because this faith gives you life. Whereas the Bible says, you know, surely we are dead in our trespasses. We would otherwise be walking around dead every day. But you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. You've been given a life that is eternal life. It will well up to eternal life for you when God calls you to heaven. Now, with that understanding, we'll jump past the next few chapters and straight into chapter 4. We get to see this great image of Abraham, the father of our faith, staring up at those stars there, whether in your bulletin or on the screen. Abraham had been given this great and glorious promise. This man without children, a man who had many things, a man who we would say is very blessed and money and in prosperity. He's got a large amount of stuff. But he doesn't have that which was considered the greatest blessing of his day. He doesn't have children. And yet God promises him, not only are you going to have a kid, I will make you the father of many nations. He describes it in different ways. At one point, look at the stars of the sky. Couldn't possibly number them. We have really awesome telescopes now, and we still can't number them. If you go find one, I think you can name it after somebody. I don't know. I hear the name Jesse's a great name for naming a star, just saying. If you have a plan for one. Couldn't possibly number, still can't number how large this family is. And as we read before, this family is not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. This is a family that is different than the family that the world would understand. This is a family of faith. Now, yesterday, we had the opportunity to go to something that we haven't been able to do in quite a long time. The Brubaker family got to go to a good Highland Games Festival. I don't know if anyone's been to that one. I understand it used to be over here at Mount Hood Community College at one point, and then they moved it from being 7 minutes away from us all the way to Hillsboro. It's awful. But we drove out and we had a great time. It was fun to go around. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heritage, but there might be more than one other Scotsman in here. I don't know. I won't make you raise your hand because we don't want people to chase us down. But it was fun to go around and to see people in different tartans, maybe different kilts. I decided not to wear my kilt today, just my robe. I also don't have a kilt. But if you saw someone walking around in a different tartan, the idea is you could look at that tartan, that specific pattern, and say, oh, they're from this family or they're from that family. I can see that one over there. That's from our family. We're loosely related to each other. We have the same clan, the same group. Those people over there, we like them. Those people over there, we've hated them for 500 years. It's not quite that bad anymore. We have a good time. It's fun to be able to say, look at something and say, ah, that member is a member of my family. I know them. We're connected in some way. It's great to do that for random heritage where we get to enjoy bagpipes and haggis. It's great for experiencing all sorts of other things. It's fun to be brought into other people's cultural heritage. Lutefisk, I'm still working on. It's fun to experience those different parts of cultural heritage and those things that bind us together. For us today, though, we hear that there is a different family, one that we can't see with various genetic traits, one that we don't necessarily experience in special foods, but we do have certain celebrations that we enjoy together. We have great things that we remember and that we trust in, and there are occasional meals, sometimes even weekly meals, that we get to participate in that help bind us together with this great family that we have. This family that truly is alive. A family that has even more vibrance, even more excitement than people who get to enjoy good Scotch whiskey. Take that, other people who aren't Scottish. Sorry. We get the opportunity to experience something far greater, though. We are a part of this promise. This promise that God gave Abraham is a promise that is alive and well. It is one of the many promises that God has given to you to say that you are a part of something far greater, far larger than you could even see. You have a gift that has been promised since the beginning of creation, the beginning of the creation of man and woman who fell into sin. You're a part of this great and wonderful promise to be blessed, knowing that your sinfulness, which leads to death, has been taken care of by Jesus Christ, your Savior, who died on the cross in your place. You are someone who receives the promise of righteousness before God, being made right so that when he sees you, he knows you, he loves you, He says, this is a part of my family. This one belongs to me. This one, though they were an enemy, I have made them a family member. As we look at Romans chapter 4, verse 13 starts off, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Righteousness, of course, being something that we think of in how someone acts and does things. Not just someone who's an amazing surfer and is told, righteous. See, I'm also a Californian, not just a Scotsman. Righteousness is not just something that is done, but in this case, this righteousness is done for us through faith. A righteousness not done by your actions, but done for you by faith, by Jesus' actions. Skipping ahead in verse 16, that is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Whereas wrath and destruction would only come for those who can't follow the law, we have a faith that gives us the grace of God. Throughout Romans, we get a chance to see various bits and pieces, not just of what God's done for us and his promises, but also a little bit of our theology, the things that we say, this is true about who God is. And this is how we can understand his word. I'm using the easy, low-hanging Lutheran fruit on the very first Sunday that we're doing this, though, so I'm shooting myself in the foot. But this is showing us law and gospel pretty early on. We get to see that there is God's law, which is very clear and very good and very holy. These are the things that are good and right in God's eyes. Those who do them would be righteous before God. And yet it's this great mirror to show us, man, I don't do those. I am not righteous before God. On my best day, I'm not anywhere close to it. On my own, I am a sinner. On your own, you are a sinner who cannot follow the law. With Jesus Christ, you still are a sinner, but you have something far greater. You have the life given to you of one who was never sinful, who is not sinful, and one who is perfect and right. This is the gospel. To know that we are the sick ones, the ones who are in need of a Savior, and the ones who know that Jesus Christ has already saved us. We have this law which would crush and condemn so that the gospel would be that much more sweet. To say, Jesus died for you, your sins are forgiven, to someone who has no idea what you're talking about. Okay, that's fine. Who's this Jesus character? Do we need to send like a gift card to his family so that they can have some food while they're sad? People need to understand who Jesus is. He's not just some guy. We are not just some random people. You are a specific individual who God looked at and knew everything about, who said, I can see all of their faults. And then he looked at you and said, but I love them enough that I would give up my perfect son that they would be in heaven with me. We have a God who says, you are not part of our family. You are our enemy. And yet, let me give you this robe of righteousness. Let me wrap you up in the great gift of your Savior, my Son, Jesus Christ, to pull you in. And so in a unique way, that father of many nations, Abraham, the father of many nations through faith, greater even than blood lineage, we are given a father even greater than him, the one who he has faith in. So you, because you have Abraham as a father of the faith, you have God as the father of eternal life. That's this promise. The promise that his family, Abraham's family, would be a blessing to many nations, to the whole world, is shown forth in you. You have been blessed to be brought in. And now, as part of that family, that promise is now going through you. This promise is still alive. You're a part of Abraham's family. You get to be a blessing to other people. You get to be the one that goes out and shares this great promise. The promise that is still going and is living and active. The promise that you have been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. The promise that is true for everyone who would call on Jesus' name. As we understand that promise to be coming through God and through his word and through this family, it's important to always be reminded of what this promise does. It makes you, of course, right before God. I've mentioned that. This righteousness, then, one that you live by faith, is something that each and every day, as you're going throughout your day, is just happening. I love that. You did a great job. I should really just like put the children's messages on repeat sometimes for the sermon. It'll be great. We live and we walk by this faith. You are saved by the faith, and you now live daily by this faith. This faith is the one giving you the life that you have, such that you would walk around having it. You would walk around exuding it. The Bible calls it the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's something else. And when you read through the fruits of the Spirit, you think, okay, I have the Spirit, so I should do these things. I should work on them to be more fruitful. You see, we just spent a whole school year talking about this, so I'm geared up and ready for this one. The fruits of the Spirit are something that the Spirit is doing in you and giving to the world through you. If you are connected to Jesus in faith, it's through the Spirit who then will fill you and use you to produce good fruit. We have this massive cherry tree in our backyard. It's so big that we have to figure out how to trim it down so we can actually get to all the cherries. But these cherries are just growing off of these branches that keep getting pruned. They don't know what's going on. They get chopped in half and they wake up the next spring and they start growing, and all of this, these leaves and these fruit just start flowing out of them. They're not doing it. It's just happening because they're connected to the tree that's giving them life. Because we are connected to the one who gives us life, so we're not dead branches, fruit just happens through us. Because this faith that is living in you, this righteousness that is living in you, continues to work and have its presence. And so you get to be a part of this promise. Not just for yourself, because you know that you're saved and have eternal life, but because God is going to use you to bring life and that same promise to other people. God be praised. We just show up and we keep trusting in him. Trust in Jesus, and he will do all the work we need. As we work through Romans, we'll get to see this time and again. We are righteous individuals because of the faith we've been given in Jesus. We are made alive in his family through the same promised family that was given ages ago. You are God's child, dearly loved, equally sinful with all the people who've ever been, and yet alive with a faith that is far greater than anyone could ever know. Part of a family that can't always be seen, but a family that is true nonetheless. And may the peace of being a part of God's family guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.